So to kick off with, what does the Conservative Party have to offer to people in the very centre of London?
So the Conservative Party are incredibly active in London. We have a good, strong record with the economy. You've got a choice between Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn. And we know, especially given that the manifesto has come out for Labour today, that his tax and spend policies are not only catastrophic for the country, they are incredibly damaging for this for London in particular. We've seen transaction tax, his £500 billion, you know, even his own mayor says his transaction taxes is madness. So, you know, if you want a steady hand, a good record of economic stability, then it's the Conservatives that are going to give the bedrock for London and in London. And then if you look at sort of a more nuanced things that really, people really care about in relation to homes, so we heard in the hustings last night it was a really big issue for families, young people, for future building as well. We have got a very clear plan for building homes for the whole of the country, but in particular in London. We've got Theresa May has made a commitment to build social housing to help councils free up brownfield sites. We know that Southwark is one of the biggest landowners in the country and it's not getting it right. It's not meeting its own housing targets. So that's Labour Council with a Labour MP and they're not managing. So the Conservatives, if you put us in place for Bums in Old Southwark, we will get it right for the people here.
You pick up housing, which is obviously always the number one issue raised at hustings and events around here. And yes, the headline promise on house building from the Conservative Party is very eye-catching, but how would that work in terms of funding and practice? How would you get from that huge headline figure to delivery on the ground?
Well, what Theresa May is talking about is actually making sure that councils are able to borrow and that we are giving greater powers and the ability to free up land, borrow to build, and also give people control over their homes when they're there. I mean, I was very disappointed that none of the other candidates at the hustings last night want people to own their own homes. I think it should be an aspiration of everybody to own their own homes. It provides stability. I'm sure that many of the candidates on the stage own, so why shouldn't council tenants have the opportunity for rent to buy? So it's about working with councils, making sure that planning law is such that land can be freed up, the conditions are there to make sure developers are doing what they should be if the councils are committed to building social homes and affordable homes, then they absolutely need to get on with it, and it's the Conservatives that will help them do that.
I think one of the big objections to right to buy has been the fact that simply those homes sold haven't been meaningfully replaced. And we've seen under the Conservative-led government in recent years the extension of right to buy potentially to housing association properties. And there have been a number of other rule changes. And in fact, one of the things that I think has prevented councils and developers from doing more is the constant changing of the goalposts and the rules and the framework for funding and building affordable housing in this country. Do the Conservatives have a proposal which means that there will be some certainty over time so that people can meaningfully make plans to build and develop?
Oh, absolutely. And the longer the Conservatives are in power, the less changes there will be. So we want consistency. It's really important for people that that they have continuity in their housing and that they can plan for their future. And it's the same for councils when they're planning their budgets and their building. But the reason right to buy came back is because it was popular. It gave an entire generation of people an opportunity to own their own property that they may not have been able to do that. And we heard the Labour candidate last night talk about the fact that there wasn't much take-up of right to buy. So if that is the case, which I'm not necessarily accepting, but if that is the case, then that policy cannot be blamed for the lack of building with Southwark Council. Southwark Council and the councils in this city hold the keys to building, and it is if they are completely committed to building affordable homes, then they should be getting on with it. I haven't seen any evidence of that yet.
You're a councillor in a borough in some ways not dissimilar to Southwark in that it reaches into central London but also has leafier parts further out. What have you learnt from your experience in local government over the last 3 years that informs your candidacy here in Bermondsey?
Well, it's actually not dissimilar at all in terms of the makeup of the council. It's heavy, heavy Labour-led council administration and a very polarised borough. You have sort of extremely wealthy parts in the north and some more disadvantaged parts in the south of the borough. But we are a party that wants to have a country that works for everybody. We're making policies and focusing on ensuring that everybody has an opportunity to move forward in their lives and have a leg up, and it's a strong economy, strong steady pair of hands that enables us to do that. I've done an awful lot of planning, planning issues. I was doing some planning issues before I came out to see you today, and actually I've spent as much time on private home planning issues as I have helping people on our estates. I've done an awful lot of work setting up TRAs in the borough where I'm a councillor. I've worked on maintenance issues, I've worked on leaseholder issues. It's exactly the same as what we're dealing with in Southwark. And actually, it's a strong, firm, constantly monitoring grip on what is happening to make sure that the residents are able to benefit from the policies that are in place.
And despite those similarities, Camden isn't Southwark. And some people may think, why should they take any notice of a Conservative representing a council ward in Hampstead suddenly pitching up in Southwark? You came close to being a Conservative candidate in Hampstead. Why should people take note of you, given that you don't have that local track record in Southwark?
I think it's worth remembering that I work in the constituency. I work literally a couple of minutes from where we are sat today. London, in all different parts, has very similar issues as you and I have just been discussing. But it isn't the case that I don't know the area. I work here. I'm thinking about the area. My entire career has been focused on people. And actually, when you're focused on people, it doesn't matter where you are, because the care and the thought and the public service and the ability to respond and work hard for people is there. So I don't think it should matter that I haven't got the 30 years that we heard about from Sir Simon. Actually, I think that's more of a hindrance in some ways for him, because he isn't looking above the parapet and seeing with a fresh set of eyes what needs to be done.
And you've made it clear that you voted Remain at the referendum last year. Doesn't that make it difficult for you to credibly sell Brexit under Theresa May to voters here, when the Brexit isn't what you thought was the best thing for Britain?
Well, I remind you that Theresa May voted Remain as well in the referendum, and I think, as I said last night in the hustings, I think we've got to move forward. I was incredibly disappointed to hear such negativity from Sir Simon and Neil Coyle. There is so much energy from them being wasted on being outraged and looking back constantly at the referendum. I mean, actually, they got their couple of minutes on Brexit and they chose to rerun the issues, when actually what I want to do is look forward and see what we need to do. We've got so much work. We need to keep the economy strong. We need to look after EU citizens. We need to be prioritising frictionless trade, financial passporting for the hugely valuable financial sector, with thousands of jobs, absolutely thousands of jobs, many of whom live and work in our constituency. We've got students to think about, individual businesses. I've got some business owners in Elephant Castle talking to me about how much they rely on overseas workers. It isn't good enough that if you've got Lib Dems and Labour setting their stall by being the biggest Remainers or the biggest Europhiles in the room, that they aren't able to actually think about the people on the ground that need somebody to go and do some strong negotiations. And I think you also have to remember that I would have the confidence in the ear of Theresa May, who I very much hope will be in government and leading these negotiations, because the option is Theresa May or Jeremy Corbyn. And we have seen what Jeremy Corbyn has just done with his manifesto, which many people think it is just a new leadership bid. I'm shocked if Neil Coyle can get behind that, given what he says about Jeremy Corbyn personally. So what you've got is an option of me as a Conservative with a good record, with local government experience. I work in this constituency, I know and love it, and I have got a good ability to represent people, because that's what I've done all my life. Or the Lib Dems, where votes to them go towards Jeremy Corbyn being in power, or a vote towards Neil Coyle puts Jeremy Corbyn in power and he doesn't even have any confidence in him. He voted Jeremy Corbyn out. He didn't want him to be those leader. So I find it a very strange, confusing time for Bermondsey and Old Southwark in terms of what they are being offered. And I just want to say, and I didn't get an opportunity to say it last night, I am incredibly disappointed in some of the leaflets that Sir Simon is putting out about saying, I mean, he is telling people that there is no point voting for any other candidate other than the Lib Dems and Labour. Now, apart from that being entirely ironic coming from a Liberal Democrat, he also stood up and said that, you know, he basically doesn't expect to win. So he's asking for a vote that is not going to lead to any type of power, to give the benefits of power to the people of Bermondsey and Old Southwark. He's also saying, you know, on a completely undemocratic basis, don't bother voting for anyone else. So this is a time when we've got a new choice. You have got a choice in me, and I do have the skills to take this forward.
One local matter I wanted to ask you about. It's not quite in this constituency, but it is an SE1 matter that people in Southwark as well as Lambeth feel strongly about, and that's the Garden Bridge, a project that does have Westminster implications as well as local ones. It was initiated by a Conservative mayor and funded with a lot of public money by a Conservative Chancellor. Given where we are with that project, what do you think should happen next?
Well, I mean, I'd be interested to hear from you what the strength of feeling is in terms of its popularity. It's not something that's come up on the doorstep. It's not something that I've been tackled about. I think it was an imaginative, bright project, and I have seen what the Mayor of London's done. But, I mean, what's your take on the matter?
I think it's fair to say that residents of SE1, the majority would oppose the scheme and would have grave concerns about the potential unrecoverable spending of £45-50 million on the scheme, and potentially then that's if it's not built, and a potentially blank cheque if it is built. And I think there are a lot of people who would like to see the politicians who got us to that unenviable position held to account one way or the other by the new government. So would you support an inquiry and investigation as to what's gone wrong?
I think there should always be a clear transparency and a good look where there is taxpayers' money being spent, whether it is a small amount or an incredibly large amount like we're talking about today. So I know that there was an inquiry, well, that Sadiq Khan sought information, there was good, but I think more needs to be done. It sounds like there's a number of questions being raised. Actually, what has come up on the doorsteps when I'm talking to people, particularly in Rotherhithe and Surrey Docks, is that they would like a connection point. And I think before we start to push or start to implement or start to seek funding for any further schemes for connections, because, you know, I think it would be wise to understand exactly what has happened and where we are going with the Garden Bridge. So, yeah, I would always support more information rather than less.
And in these few whirlwind weeks of campaigning that you've already been doing, what surprised you the most? What have you learned on the doorstep and outside the tube stations? What have you heard from people that you didn't expect to hear?
I've heard a lot of local focus. I think I was given Sir Simon's approach to this election and Neil Coyle's approach and how much focus has been put on Brexit by the both of them. Actually, what people are talking to me is about local issues. It is about, it's about broadband in Surrey Docks. It's about connection points. It's about transport. It's about the Jamaica Road traffic chaos. You know, it's about the Elephant and Castle businesses, and it's about the Bakerloo Line extension and whether there should be shaft on the bricklayer's arms, or, you know, and actually those are the things that matter to people. And that's what worries me here, is that actually you've got two other MP candidates that are not me, that are spending so much time and energy focusing on things that actually people are not as interested as they would like to think. It may be all their birthdays and Christmases come at once because they've got a single issue to fight an election on, but on the ground are things that they have not got right for a number of years, and I want to get it right for people. You know, the Riverside Day Centre, I want to, I've already created a plan as to how we should be asking questions for the council officers, the Elephant and Castle businesses. It's an absolute travesty that they are being told that they may have to wait up to 5 years before there is any resolution for them, while the the escalators are being turned off and their rates are going up and they're being squeezed and they're having to let staff go. You know, that's uncertainty. That's a hell of a lot more uncertainty than what Sir Simon and Neil Quill's Brexit is doing. And then alongside that, your option is Theresa May and Jeremy Corbyn. And any vote that doesn't go for me does bolster Jeremy Corbyn.
Now, the Conservatives here got their best result in 2010 with 17% of the vote. That's the best result in 30 years or so here. That you fell back at the last election to less than 12%. For you, what would be a good result come the 9th of June? What would a successful campaign in Bermondsey and Old Southwark look like?
Oh, I just want to remind you as well that we had the greatest swing to the Conservatives for the GLA election in Rob Flint, so we can't forget that. The march is on in terms of Conservative approach. And actually, when you walk around, it's so encouraging how happy people are to see me. I'm wearing a bright blue coat all the time, you can't miss me. But you know, my absolute goal here is to give people of Bermondsey and Old Southwark another choice, a better choice, as far as I have seen so far, and also to make really strong Conservative gains. I see absolutely no reason why this should not be a Conservative held constituency, and I think we would be the right people to get things done. And the mantra is coming from me, coming from Theresa May, coming from the Conservative Party, we want to get things done for the people of this country and this constituency, rather than be looking backwards and faffing around and sort of being outraged and wasting loads of energy. You know, so back me, you get a full team, you get a good, strong Prime Minister, and we can move forward.